Rosie Anderson came up to me last week and she said, instead of needs and the awkward word shapen, I could use the word deficiency, and then we go back to shaped. So whether you like to think about it as N in needs or D in deficiencies, we're going to be talking about that. We'll finish up last week. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your grace toward us. God, thank you for this church family. Thank you for each and every person that you bring through that door on any given Sunday. And Lord, we're thankful for it. Help us to love them and build them up. God, as we consider our spiritual gifts and the way that you design spiritual gifts, may we just have a great appreciation and a gladness for the opportunity to use them and to be served by them and others. I pray specifically for Neighborhood Church that you would continue to strengthen us in the use of our gifts and the building up of one another. Give us clarity about what our gifts are. Pray for our conversation this morning, that you would help our answers to questions to be fruitful, our recall of your word to be honoring to you and helpful to our instruction. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. So the bottom line is that our ministry is always set in a context. And so you may think of yourself as great at this or not, or great at that or not, but you're always placed in a place that has needs or deficiencies. And so you may think to yourself, I love junior hires. I don't know. Probably not, because if you did love junior hires, you'd probably be in there instead of in here. But if you love junior hires and we have a need in junior high, that can be a great fit. But you might love junior hires and our fourth and fifth grade Sunday school class is just in desperate need. We're going to have to shut it down. And you begin to think to yourself, well, where does my shape interact with the needs in my local body? Or there may be a need for somebody to serve in some capacity. You're like, you know, I don't, serving's not my gift. I'm more of a speaking gift. And you're like, well, you know, but somebody needs to clean the bathrooms and they need to be clean. You know, like there are different times where we don't just think about, well, I'm sorry, I'm not shaped in that way, and so I can't do that. You have to consider it. In our household, there are lists of chores that need to be done, and they aren't really up for debate about which ones you like to do. Now, my kids will do, like, they will swap and trade sometimes, like, I'll do kitchen if you do bathroom. Anyway, but there's just sort of the needs of the church. There's the deficiencies, and that is part of the equation of where we can serve and build up the body of Christ. We need to be thinking about that. So how should we think about the needs of the church? So if you are reading through your bulletin or someone comes up front and makes an announcement, or you hear someone walk by and they say, oh man, they need people to help in junior high or Awana or the nursery. I don't know how many times you guys have walked by the nursery, but we're pretty frequently putting a piece of paper there saying, can you go to the outside nursery? Because the inside nursery doesn't have enough workers. How should we think about that as a church?
I compulsively sign up.
All right. Yeah. And there's a question we're going to talk about at the end about that. Like, when is not signing up the right call? That's a good question, too.
Opportunity.
All right. What do you mean by that, Brad?
It's an opportunity to bring glory to God, to give service. It's not just fulfilling a need, though it is that certainly, but these open slots, so to speak, are great opportunities for us to be used of God.
Yeah. So rather than setting it maybe in the negative, it becomes a positive. But shapio is just not as exciting to say. Shapio. Opportunities instead of, anyway. Sorry, Chris.
We should be prayerfully considering to fill those needs, and we need to be informed. So if I was thinking about, I would go talk to someone in the junior high what's it like? Let me observe a day with you guys. Let me check it all out. Let me pray about it. You need to be informed. And once you see the need and how you can, you better know how to fill it once you've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking in the children's ministry and talking about how to strengthen our children's ministry. We're talking about on-ramps, and so sort of lower threat on-ramps, you know, like rather than, okay, are you breathing? We're going to put you in there and you're going to teach, you know, hey, you can come, you can help a teacher, you can check things out, maybe a few weeks and you go, this is for me or this isn't for me or whatever. So yeah, pray, check things out. Our gifts, we have to remember the purpose of our gifts. Our gifts are not primarily about us. They're about how we can help and build up others with attention to how God has gifted us, created us, and carried us to the point we are today. So we give attention to our shape, but it's not the only thing that determines what we are able to do in a church. And so I think that's worth thinking about. We're going to talk a little bit today about how ministry is hard. And we're going to deal with the idea of the fairy tale fallacy. I think we need to remember that when we serve within the context of the church, it's not about us, it's about what we can bring. And sometimes the opportunities or needs are a driving factor, right? So, whether I like to clean the toilet or not in my house is irrelevant if it needs to be cleaned. And my wife has done it a few times, and it's my turn, right? Actually, I cook, and she cleans the toilet. But anyway, that's just the way our rhythm works. I have a question. Do you guys have a question? What are some current ministry opportunities that you know need filling here at Neighborhood Church? Is that on your flyer? Somehow it got missed on my PowerPoint. Sorry. What are some things that you guys are aware of currently at Neighborhood Church that maybe others aren't? Release time. Okay, so let's talk about those a little bit. So junior high, actually, I just want to give you guys a little, I don't want to give you guys, I want to give God praise. Junior high was like desperate for workers for a period of time. And there were places where I'm like, maybe we just don't have a midweek junior high and we just do a Sunday, like we're just... As a leader, you're trying to figure out that strategy, right? And all of a sudden, we had like a half dozen people start to join in there, and they're helping. They're new in it, and they're checking it out. They're doing that step. But yeah, there's a lot of adult bodies in there all of a sudden. So praise God that that is going on, and thank God that he made people crazy enough to go in there. So that's, I can say that because they're all in there right now. Yeah, so what else did you say? You said nursery. So nurseries are for sure, we need some help in nursery. And nursery is it's not a difficult thing. We go through fingerprinting, right? And I was talking with someone this week because some people get a little nervous about the fingerprinting. Just because there might be something either in your history or unrelated doesn't mean, oh, hey, you've got a record. We don't take people with records. It would have to be something that would be inappropriate to put you with kids. And if that is part of your record, then we're going to say no. So... unashamedly, right? Like, that's just part of it. So what else did you say? You said release time. What does release time need? I don't know for sure.
Yeah, right. Release time is an incredible ministry that happens on Friday afternoons in Cottonwood, where we take kids out of school, walk them to the back of What's-Her-Face's house, and teach them...
Thank you, What's-Her-Face.
Teach them Bible lessons and songs and memory verses, and then take them back to their classroom.
Yeah, so kids invite other of their peers and say, you should come to release time with us. And then they go, and you go off campus, which is really like right next door to campus, and you do Bible lessons and songs. It's brief, and they walk over with adults who pray for them and hear their needs and care for them. It's fast, but it's good. And Monday at which of the Cottonwoods? I don't know. West. You guys named them, and then we did other things with them. And then anyway, West Cottonwood. Yeah.
We also
at her house
are interested if there's people with the gift of teaching that are younger. We are being advised by some at West Cottonwood to try to get some younger bodies, not 70-year-olds.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. A multi-generational teaching body, and currently you're deficient in the younger category. All right. Good. You said one more?
Awana.
How are we doing, Awana, Mark? How are we doing, Awana?
We are short a Sparky leader. We could use some younger folks too, just in probably each of the clubs. Probably 80 counting leaders on Wednesday night. So it takes a good crew that's faithfully being there, and it's a good ministry. We also have that Grand Prix coming up on the 10th, and Terry Knight's gonna head that up. So he's been looking around for people that can help set up and get all that.
Yeah, that's great. So either a regular commitment, or sometimes there's just a need for a dive bomb, help us out, setting up a track. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Other needs. Yeah, Chris.
I just wanted to mention that Awana encompasses people from all different churches.
It's a community multi-church. Yeah. Great. Aaron, did you have something?
I know the food ministry is always looking for more people to help out there.
Food ministry, yeah. Mike?
Besides media.
Media, yeah. Two and a half people doing that. And so that's a somewhat low threat, is it, Lynn? A somewhat low threat bar to get back there and click? Daniel?
Children's church and the prayer team up front.
Prayer team, children's church, those are great opportunities. Yeah. Ben?
We have church work days here that are organized by the deacons, so we'll probably be doing a spring and a fall. Mm-hmm. So if you have the gift of, I like to sweat with friends.
It's one of the listed gifts.
That's about it. Yes. And then also something that we're working on, I'll just announce this since I have the room, is that we've got a men's breakfast coming up on March 4th. And we're looking at resurrecting the, we don't know what the name of it is right now, but Gary Smith's helping us to get organized. It was previously called Working Men. We're working on a new title for that, but basically I put together a team of people with skills and go, here's someone in need. Let's go deploy and fix that, because many hands makes light the work. So be watching for that. You're going to be hearing about that coming out soon.
That's great.
And not just limiting to men, I'm encouraging maybe on the women's side too.
Okay, good. How about something that people wouldn't normally think of as a need in the church? So a lot of times there's a slot, right, a role that needs to be filled, and that's important. But what about something that people wouldn't normally think of? Yeah, okay.
This is not an organized ministry, but just being aware and welcoming people that are new and just looking for them.
Yeah, being aware of people. I love what I think some people must experience assault at our church. If you are looking to come to a church and kind of hide, sorry. This is not the way we're wired around here. You just kind of get like, I was watching a new person a couple weeks ago get like, you know, the greeting time in the beginning, and they're like, that's the way we do it. Was there another one? Yeah.
If someone is unable to drive or they're shut in and need a ride to church, finding out if there's someone in my area or in your area that needs a ride, that would be great.
Yeah, how many of you guys have the spiritual gift of driving? You can drive, right? Like, I mean, we're talking about needs in the church. What about that? Like, There are lots of people that might like to come if we could drive them. Yeah. And you don't have to get a Class B van and drive it all around or whatever that is. Did you have something?
Another ministry on Friday is prayer ministry. It's sorely lacking in
bodies. Yeah. So on any given Sunday, there's about 250, 260 people that attend neighborhood church. Approximately how many people show up to the prayer meeting every week?
Seven.
Just a couple statistics for you. Doesn't mean we're not praying at home, right? I mean, I'm not, but we're gathering together to pray. Do we believe God moves in that way? Yeah.
Operation Christmas Child, it's just, you know, people think about just the end of the year, but it's a year-long thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, something that also...
You guys are praying throughout the year for what's going on with that stuff too, aren't you?
Yeah, we're calling churches and we're praying all year long. And,
yeah.
And giving supplies and stuff like that, but it's also a ministry that works in with Awana, so you know it's something that also we can work with Mark to help all year long to see if he gets the supplies that he needs for Awana and stuff. So mm-hmm. People just think about it as a Christmas thing and that's it.
Mm. Yeah. Great, thank you for sharing. Ben?
Leading or hosting men's, women's, or couples' home groups. You don't even necessarily, if you have a home, you probably qualified to host. If you love Jesus, it's not hard to lead a home group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're looking for people to lead. I know, you know, there's a process of developing a leader, but certainly I know Aaron has experienced on Tuesday night. So we used to be classically a Thursday morning kind of women's Bible study space. And she has offered a Tuesday night Bible study. And we've got 20 women that have kind of at least passed through there. And there, a lot of them are women who don't normally come on a Sunday morning or maybe even normally attend a church at all. So what is great opportunity we're discovering in the evenings is potentially there. So I'm sure Aaron would love to work with people who, over a year process or so, would come into a place and maybe be ready to take that kind of a role on. So, yeah, cool stuff. Encouragement. The gift of mercy being utilized in the context of neighborhood church. I am 125% certain that that my life has been girded in prayer by people in neighborhood church, and I am thankful for the way that God has honored those prayers throughout our life as we see that. And so there are people out there who are faithfully praying, and I'm thankful for that, and they're building up the body of Christ that way. Anyway, I wasn't planning on this much time on this question, but I appreciate you guys' answers, and that was good. Building up the body of Christ, easy or hard? Explain. Easy?
If you do it in your gifting.
Okay. Easy if you do it in your gifting.
Volunteer because there's a slot and you're not cut out for that, it can be really hard.
Okay, so when the baby starts screaming and I'm in the nursery, it's hard for me, okay? It's fair. Ooh, that's it. Thank you. Calvin.
Yeah. Generally easy. Doing serving on the music team is something that's very enjoyable for me and I love doing. And especially before I was married, it was much easier because I could volunteer during whatever, anytime, any day, multiple times a month, whatever, no mm-hmm. sweat.
Yeah.
It gets a little more challenging, get married, have kids, now all okay, after the tradition of serving on Christmas Eve for music has other implications.
Yeah.
So it gets more challenging in that regard in that I have other needs to consider, and it gets to be a higher cost.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to challenge the easy statement a little bit with a thing that we like to use around here called the Bible. So while I believe that serving in your shape will increase your effectiveness, it will probably provide you with a greater sense of satisfaction. It may make it easier, but it may not. Did Paul serve according to his giftedness? Yes or no? I assume so. Yeah, the 12 apostles probably served according to their giftedness. I mean, Jesus selected them out for the job, so whatever. Either way, it was a perfect selection, right? Jesus was probably operating in his giftedness. Timothy, Paul said, the gift that was in you by laying on of hands, he had some words there. But these people struggled. They suffered. I mean, the 12 apostles were all killed, except for John, who was isolated on an island. But that's That's not what I call easy. Paul, we're going to read a bit about how he described his own encounter, and it's not going to be what you think of as easy. Why? Why is it hard? Yeah, Kaya.
If you're moving into Satan's territory, it will not be easy.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. So I'm gonna step. That's number two. I'm gonna come back to number one, then we'll come back to that. Number one, Genesis 3. The fall. What do we read about in the fall? In the fall, you are going to till the ground by the sweat of your brow. There is this relationship between work and the world that happens in the fall, and due to it, that makes it an uphill battle. That's why you walked to school uphill both ways in the snow. That's a fall situation. Ben, did you have something?
I was just going to say ministry is full of people, and people are broken. Mm-hmm. I know I'm broken. I don't even know. People have been kind to me and not told me all the times I've stepped on their toes and disregarded their feelings. But it's full of people.
Yeah, that's true. So we've got the fall. We've got the fact that we have a spiritual enemy, Ephesians, right? Chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Oh, I'm doing bad. We have Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. So, a lot of us don't really know how to take that. Right? That whole concept feels like, I don't know what you're talking about, or that's like how do it, what does that look like? What does it look like in serving in the nursery, or in junior high, or release time, or helping at somebody's house? It looks like there will be a lot of excuses in front of you. It looks like it will be hard. It looks like people will bother you, or you'll have a busy schedule, or whatever it might be. There is more going on to our world than just what's in front of us. There is spiritual battle that wages on. And if we're ignorant of it, it will not make it go away. You cannot ostrich spiritual warfare, right? Like, it's not there, it's not happening.
Just pray against it.
Absolutely. Sure, put on your armor. Okay. I mean, we could do what Scripture says. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering that are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Ministry being hard isn't a big deal when you have it in the right perspective. Whose power are we operating in? Whose battle is this? Where is the end goal? All of a sudden, uphill in the snow both ways is okay. So I just want to say, when we think about our spiritual gifts, if we're thinking, I'll go into that place, everything will be a fairy tale, right? We watch the fairy tale movies. What happens? A guy and a girl get together and they live happily ever after. They never argue or disagree or have any of those problems that the rest of us have in our relationships, right? And so I think we tell the same narrative story with spiritual gifts. You're going to figure out what your gift is. You're going to unwrap it. Miraculously, the doors of opportunity are going to open in the church for you to do that gift. And when you do it, you will be so fulfilled by watching God miraculously manifest his presence in your life that you won't need to go to heaven because everything's going to be so perfect. That's not reality, right? We have Jesus in Scripture who is going to pray, and he says, I am sorrowful and troubled, even to death. Jesus is walking faithfully along a path that God has laid out before him for the building up of the body of Christ, literally the establishing of the body of Christ. And he says, I'm sorrowful even to death. I know some of you guys who have walked to ministry may have felt that at times. Maybe not in the same category as Jesus, but you're like, oh, I do not want to go, but I'm going to go. You know, hopefully at the end of the night, you walk away and go, that was worth it. And I've heard those stories before. Paul is describing, this is kind of an interesting section of scripture because it's an argument that he's making that he's not really saying is a very powerful argument, but in it, he reveals something about his experiences that I think is very important for us to be aware of. He talks about how for greater labor, I can't read it up there, it's too small, sorry. Are there servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman. This is what he's saying. He's not saying this is a powerful argument. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I was adrift at sea. And then he goes into a section on danger, 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 danger. Was he living the fantasy? Was he living the fairy tale life? Was he exactly where he was supposed to be, doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, empowered by the strength and presence of God? Yeah, but it was hard. And when you serve God in the context of the ministries that he gives us, it is going to be hard. You know, so my job is to speak, at least that's one of the roles I had given, right? So I have to go and I get in that word and I'm thinking to myself, what does this say? And sometimes that's hard to understand. And then I'm thinking, who is going to hear it and what do they need to hear? And all of that becomes hard. And then you get up and you're tired and you've had your week or whatever it is. It's hard. Ministry's hard. Showing up every week in Awanas and listening to these kids and saying, calm down, settle down, settle down. I don't know if that's how it goes, but I'm guessing. I've worked with kids enough where that's probably close. It's hard. By the sweat of your brow, sometimes it feels good to do hard work, but it's still hard. That's okay if you're doing something worth doing. If the end is the building up of the body of Christ, the toil is worth it. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, right? There was something about what Jesus was doing. There's something about what Paul was doing. It was worth it. So it's not just about us and about, oh, I'm shaped this way and I feel so satisfied when I'm doing ministry this way. That's just a strategy of attack point. Your shape is about a strategy of attack. Where could you do the most damage to Satan's plans? Where could you have the greatest impact to the build up the body of Christ? Well, that's why we're asking about our shape, not because it's going to be marvelous and perfect and simple, because it won't be. Not in the 25 years I've been a part of the church. It's been hard. It's been toil. Does it not mean that there's a mountaintop that you get to and a view that's beautiful and you see God show up and manifest himself and you're like, yes, worth it. Yeah, those moments do come, right? I don't want to leave you in the gloom. Look, you need to have realistic expectations, but in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we adopt that in the midst of the battle, it's meaningful. Your weakness, your inability, your struggle is shrouded in the sovereign power, authority of God who gives fruitfulness to your work. Jesus says the craziest thing in John 14, 12. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me, he will also do the works I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and he will be in you. There is a relationship that Jesus has provided for us in the presence of the Spirit in your life that multiplies something in us that we can have great hope for. In the midst of the struggle, God can do amazingly fruitful things, not because you're amazing, because he's amazing. And when we believe that, we push through, we keep going. Ephesians says, while we had no hope, we now have great reason for hope. Ephesians 3 here. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, I need you to know, because if I send you out on a mission to start building up the church, and you're like, I think I understand what my S is, I think I understand what my H is, I think I understand some of the abilities that I have, and I've got a feel of my personality, I know my experience, I see some needs, I'm going to go out there and it's going to be perfect. I want to send you out there with a clear understanding of the resistance that you're going to get. You're in a spiritual warfare in a world that's been impacted by sin, but you have been empowered by the Spirit that dwells in you to accomplish things that mean something. That's it. The hill's worth taking. Accomplishing ministry, building up the body of Christ, seeing that the gospel goes out in Anderson and Cottonwood, it is worth doing. Imparting into the generation that's rising up truths of God to get established in them so that they can be a part of this culture, that's worth doing. Investing in people and showing them the love of Christ so that they may see it, that's worth doing. Going to God and praying that he will accomplish mighty things in our people and in our community, in our world, that's worth doing. We want to be a family that's doing things that are worth doing. All right, so how do I get started? So where did we start in this class? We started with a clear biblical understanding of the why, the building up of the body of Christ, right? We went to the text and we said, what does it say? We're designed to build up the body of Christ. So we need to start there. And then what should we do after that? Talk with God. Yeah. Talk with God. Pray. Number two, this is where we talked about in the class. Reflect on your God-given shape, as we have been. That's worth doing. Don't try to fit a square peg into a round hole. It's a bad idea sometimes. And then what should you do? Talk with God. It's written up there, Kathy. Just read the stuff. But yours is coming up in a second. Oh, look at that, Kathy. You want to read that one for me?
Seek counsel from other believers who know you, and then talk to God.
That's right. Seek counsel, because you know what? Sometimes the other believers who know you, they don't give good advice. They might or they might not. It's a good thing to do, but the reason you talk to God afterwards is to go, hey, God, is that right? Because, you know, they're flawed human beings. Ben's flawed, he told us. But seek counsel. So there's some important pieces in here. Believers have the same mission. They want to take the same hill, right? And so you need to have people who have that understanding if they're going to engage in this conversation with you. And then they have to know you. And people who know you can sometimes see things that you can't see yourself. And you have to trust them in that. And that's part of the talk to God part two. Test the waters. This is a kind of a spinoff of Chris's earlier, right? Like, you don't have to have it perfectly figured out. Fan into flame the gift that was given you by laying on the hands. Start it somewhere, check it out. You may be like, I think my gift is the filling up of tiny communion cups. And you may be like, you know what? My hands are not steady. I can't do this. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe unsteady hands could do some part of it, but you know, you get what I'm saying, right? Like, you go work with junior hires and you're like, you know what? I think they need me. I think I can make an impact. And then you go in there and you're like, they need me to pray for them. and send cards to the people who are working with them. That's what they need. Test the waters out. I mentioned we're gonna start doing some things with our Sunday school and children's church that I hope to create on-ramps that allow people opportunity to go, hey, come visit a class. If you're a parent, come visit a class. Maybe it's a good fit for you, maybe it's not. At least figure out what we're doing. Do some stuff like that with test waters. You don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to make a lifelong commitment to something. We want to do better at that, so test the waters. And then, test the waters, then talk to God. Fill the holes that you can fill. You know what? I don't always work in the nursery, but I can work in the nursery. It's doable. I know how to love kids. I can pass the background check and, you know, I don't love changing diapers. I don't love when they scream, but I'm okay. I can hold a baby. I know how to not drop it. And, you know, I can make that sound and they really love that. That's kind of my go-to move with kids. If they don't like that, I have to hand them back to their mom. You know, fill the holes you can fill. Sometimes it's not overly complicated. There's just places in the body that have needs. And sometimes the leadership's aware of those and they're on bulletins, and sometimes it's not. Learn as you go. Learn as you go. You don't have to be perfect. You can grow in this. You can get better at it. You may start years in one ministry, and God is revealing things to you about how you can build up the church for you to shift course and modify as you go. I think, Kathy, you shared the story about how when you started with Sisters of Hope, all of a sudden the admin gifts that had not been a part of your purview, God showed you have them, right? Learn as you go. And then talk to God. Well, you had just talked to him after 5. So, I mean, it should be clear that talking to God is a critical part of this. So what we're accomplishing when we serve in this way is a supernatural thing. At least that's what we're aiming at. So continually seek God's enabling power to both see opportunities and respond to ways that are helpful to his people, right? Continually seek God. You didn't need to talk with God after this one because it literally was talking with God. But seek God's enabling power. God, I don't want to get up and teach a Sunday school class. I want you to get up and teach a Sunday school class. God, I don't want to tell these kids the gospel. I want you to open their eyes to see the gospel and move in their heart. You know, we want to accomplish something bigger than what it is we're doing, right? And so we need to talk with God about that. So here's something that I believe. We cannot be a strong church if we ignore God's design for our place within that church family. Neighborhood church will not be strong if the people who make up neighborhood church are not doing what God has called them to do, what he's designed them to do. We cannot be a strong church and be filled with spectators, right? So people, they want to come on Sunday, and the pastor, he's prepped all week, and he's got a message, and it's like watching Netflix, and I'm going to sit right here, and maybe he's going to do good, and maybe he's going to do bad. Maybe I'll rate him afterwards in my own mind, you know. Maybe I'll talk with my wife about it on the way home. And then I'm going to go, and then I'm going to come back next week, and next week, and next week. If that's you, I am challenging you. Do not live in that world. It is not how God builds a healthy church. If you're just figuring out the gospel and you're doing that, okay. But if you understand the gospel and you want to be a part of a church, understand that that's not being a part of a church. That's one sliver of being a part of a church. For the health of our church and for our obedience to God and the satisfaction that comes with being a part of what God is doing, let's start building, guys. Let's start building one another up. Let's start showing up on Sunday with a different disposition in our head, engaging with the people around us differently, with the call of God to use the gifts he's given us to build up the body of Christ. So I have a question for you. Do you presently feel adequately confident that God is using you to build up his church in ways that align with your shape? If not, what might be a next step for you? If so, maybe help us learn a little bit about that path. So this requires a little vulnerability. There's no arrogance in saying, I think God's using me, as long as you're saying it's not me, it's God doing it, right? How many of you guys feel like, I think God has given me an idea of who I am, and he's put me in a spot where I'm useful? Yeah, Melissa. Don't be timid. You got this, Melissa.
I just feel like the Lord is using me. He's called me to do witnessing and evangelism, and he's put me in ACCA to do that.
Yeah.
That is, I feel comfortable there.
Yeah.
And I can be a horrible week, and I can go in there, and I feel at home, right there in my cubicle with people and stuff. So that, I feel, is something I want to do. I would like to know if there's more I can do here. But then as we get older, we're dealing with physical things besides our family.
Yeah.
Been talked about.
Comes into the A, the abilities, right? What can I do?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. What can I do, and being honest with ourselves about that. I'm having a horrible time at accepting what I cannot do. Because I want to do more.
My favorite quote from Rita, getting old isn't for sissies. It's hard, right? It's hard to bending over, I now have to do like this, right? Like, yeah, otherwise all of a sudden I live, get up, and I'm like, oh, this is a week.
Mm-hmm. And
you know,
it's not fun.
Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And I believe that tells us that why our potency may have been in this way, here and here we have a unique and new potency in that way. Chris, did you have something? Were you?
Oh, I was just saying, using this to build up the church. I never worked with Awana before in my life. I've always led Bible studies and hosted things for other groups and churches, but when I moved here, someone asked me, well, you want to come to Awana? I was like, I don't know. I'm raising kids. I don't want more kids to deal with. But it turned out to be a real joy and a blessing, and I've always been good with kids. I just never did the Den Luger thing, the Boy Scouts, but I never really considered, I didn't even know what Awana was all that much. Until I got involved in it. And what a blessing, what a joy. And yeah, it's super difficult, but you never at the end of the day say, I wish I would have.
Yeah, what a regret that I poured myself out in this way. Yeah.
So it's always a blessing. Same in the workplace. We're all called to be missionaries in the workplace. And that's also, if you find believers in the workplace, please seek them out, encourage them. They are so discouraged. They need to be loved on too. And together, shine that light wherever you're at.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. Amy.
I just wanted to piggyback on a few things that have been touched on this morning. One is Calvin said about how he's super passionate about his gift. It took us a while to find what we were super passionate about, and we're super passionate about pouring into marriages and doing marriage mentors. But it's definitely not a sprint, it's a marathon. I know that my plug is really short, and I need to keep plugging in and relying on him, because that burnout can come.
Mm-hmm.
So just relying on him day by day and minute by minute, because it can be super heartbreaking and creep into your own marriage and your own life, whatever ministry you have going on. Mm-hmm. And then I think that not only do we need to talk to God, but listen really closely what he is saying to us mm-hmm. about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
In regards to like testing the waters and seeing if that calling or what you're inspired to do is right, I started out helping with the 4 and 5 year olds, and I enjoy kids, but that gave me so much anxiety. But now Mel asked me to help out with Kids Connect, so now I do the 3rd through 5th grade left. So I'm still working with kids, but I enjoy it. I don't freak out before going in and, feeling like I'm failing and that's where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Enjoy it immensely, and the lessons oh my goodness, if anybody wants to sit in on the Kids Connect, there's, these lessons are phenomenal. They're appropriate for adults as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Melanie has created those lessons, and she's done a really good job. Which, what a use of your gifts, Melanie, to sit there and to create that content. That's so cool. It's cool to see what God does. Where was it, Kathy?
So I think a word to the wise is that when you know what shape God's given you, you kind of also have to look for the signs that he puts in front of you as to where to serve, because I believe it's like the loaves and fishes, you know. You come to Awana and you watch him multiply what you prepared. And I think Awana is probably my most fulfilling ministry. But then I stepped into that place of depending on him so much more with Sohai, because even though I had maybe the worldly gifts that were needed to do that, it's so not the same thing as, I'm a kid magnet. I love kids. I mean, I just love ministering to them. I mean, they come up to me in the grocery store. I mean, it just, that's where I fit the best. My spiritual gift is teaching. I've led Bible studies. I've done other stuff, and there's fulfillment in that, and you're building up the church. But when you get that real joy, that didn't seem to be always available in Sohai. So I've stepped down, and somebody else can try it for a while and see how it works for them. But, you know, you got to be careful, because just because there's an opening, which I'm a compulsive volunteer, does not mean that my name needs to be on that clipboard, no matter how many times it passes by me. It took me a few years to figure out just to pass it to the next person.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to know your shape anyway.
We'll get to that. We're going to do that next, I think. Did you have something? Maybe I thought I saw something. I saw a wiggle over here.
Yeah. What would be really cool is if you decided you needed to serve in some way, and there was somebody you could go to who knew exactly what your church needs and exactly what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. The thing is, there is somebody.
Yeah.
And he's highly motivated in meeting your church's needs and meeting your needs and give you, I mean, he's way motivated. All you have to do is, because I've experienced this several times in my life, right? Realize I've become a pew warmer, you know, and I'm not really doing anything, and I really have to. And so I finally decide to go out on a limb and talk to God about it. Every single time he's shown me something to do, and then it's still up to me to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it's been a great blessing. It's happened both over and over again. And that'll work for anybody. He knows everything.
So Abe's seven things would be talk with God, talk with God, talk with God, talk with God, talk with God. Yeah, I like it. I always think of it like, it reminds me of the take your kid to work day, you know, where you're like, somehow you get to go along, and you get to wear a hard hat on the construction site, and you feel cool, but you didn't really build anything, but nonetheless, you wouldn't turn it down to do it again the next day. Like, that's what we get to do. We get to go to work with Dad, and Dad builds something, and he somehow uses us in a miraculous way that I'll never understand. But yeah. I think, what's the danger? We've talked about this a little bit. What's the danger in filling every ministry hole that we learn about? Yeah, some of us are motivated by guilt, right? Responsibility. My wife has a strong, strong sense of responsibility in which I don't always have, right? She's like, this needs to be done. And I'm like, or not, you know, it's fine. Some people operate with that sense of responsibility. And this is the right thing. Filling this hole is the right thing to do. If nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it. And sometimes that's valuable, and sometimes it's harmful. And you have to use good discernment about whether or not jumping in and filling the hole is right. Maybe somebody else needs to fill that hole. Maybe it is you, and it's for a short time. Maybe God will surprise you and reveal roles to you that you didn't know you had before. You have to use discernment there, but just because there's opportunity doesn't mean everyone is supposed to do that opportunity. And I don't know if you guys remember, stuck in my head, I talked years ago about a peach tree, and how peach trees, they will make 1,000,000 peaches on your peach tree, and they will all be this big, right? But if you knock half of those peaches off, those peaches get nice and juicy and big and they're lovely. And there's some truth in that and the way that we approach our lives. Sometimes we fill it with so much that we're not actually very fruitful in any one direction. Sure, we filled every slot, but then we show up to nursery and our attitude's bad, or we show up to junior high and our lesson's underprepped, or whatever it is, because we're filling every hole rather than actually doing a thing. It can be dangerous to overcommit to ministry. I wanted to give an opportunity for us to divide into groups that feel appropriately sized, somewhere 3, 5, something like that, and just pray. Pray for yourselves and the use of your gifts, and in the context of the church, pray for others. Pray for God to reveal things to us. Pray for God to fill holes, whatever it might be. Just let's do that. And then I'll close us up here in about 5 minutes. I thank you for your time.